You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Life is sometimes stormy, and it seems impossible to make it alone. Jesus is saying to you, take care and do not be afraid.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and everlasting God, the problems and frustrations of this life are often more than we can bear. Look with mercy upon those today who are filled with worry, anxiety, and even total despair. Send your powerful and calming spirit into the troubled hearts of the weary. Give them strength and grant them courage. And may they always see your Son Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray. Amen. In 1982, millions of dollars were spent in the United States on national elections. Special interest groups contributed a sizable amount, but a large percentage of the funds came from private citizens. These patriotic contributors, many of them blue-collar and white-collar workers, and women and students, sincerely hoped that by electing a particular politician, their taxes would be cut, their jobs would be insured, and their pensions would be secured. By financially assisting a particular politician, these sincere citizens hoped to elect a leader who would make their life easier and, in some cases, appease their grievances. In Jesus' day, a similar situation existed. The common people had closely watched the miracle-working Messiah. They saw him feed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. By this unprecedented act, the weary crowds were instantly stunned. They had seen with their eyes something their skeptical minds refused to believe. Greed, however, so guided their thoughts that they quickly settled on a selfish conclusion. If they could just make Jesus their political leader or their king, they would never have to worry about food again. Educated they were not, but clever they were. There were complications, however. In this mob confusion, feelings of nationalism ran high. False messianic hopes regularly swept through the unpredictable crowds of Jesus' day. These frustrated crowds wanted someone to relieve them of the oppression imposed by the occupying Roman troops. And so, as so often happens, the crowds began to grasp at anything. They began to consider Jesus as their revolutionary deliverer. But their desperate intentions sparked immediate conflict with the mysterious new personality called Jesus Christ. The Savior had no such intentions of achieving worldly position and power. He stated this clearly at the beginning of his public ministry, and he restated it as he stood in front of Pontius Pilate and said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Nevertheless, what Jesus thought made no difference to the crowd. They were blinded with mistaken intentions. They planned to use Jesus for their own purposes on their own terms, no matter what he thought. But Jesus understood this, and the Savior had the ability to look into the hearts of men As a result, Jesus wasted no time following those tense moments. After defeating of the 5,000, Jesus moved to act. In verse 45 of our text, we read that Jesus made his disciples get immediately into a boat and get to safety across the lake. If any riot or unruly crowd disturbance was going to take place, Jesus did not want his disciples involved. But even more important, however, Jesus did not want the passionate flames of the crowd being fanned by faulty comments of his messiahship from the very lips of his own disciples. The disciples grumbled. They tried in vain to dissuade the Savior. But finally, they shoved off and began to row. The crowds watched. Then Jesus turned to them. He sensed their desire to take him by force. One scholar who has studied this part of the Savior's life points out that most people today fail to realize how dangerous this situation had become. But the Bible also indicates that Jesus accomplished his intentions. He quieted the crowd down in a way only he could, and, the Bible says, sent the multitudes away. The feelings of these people should not seem unusual to us. Countless thousands of people today are looking for rulers or leaders who hopefully will make the situation in their lives better. Perhaps I should ask this question. Have you ever wished for rulers or leadership or leaders who could make the situation in your life or in your job better? Some people are always unhappy, no matter who leads them. They don't like the president, they disdain the premier, they despise the governor, they hate their boss at work, and even harbor negative feelings toward leaders in the church. As a result, these individuals will sometimes do almost anything to get a new leader. This drive has never met with the approval of Jesus. The Savior has never tried, and He never will try, to satisfy people's selfish and self-centered ambitions. But Jesus does make Himself available today to all who humble themselves in sincere repentance and call upon His name. That this is true is evidenced by the unexplainable joy of the Savior's followers, even in their trials and tribulations. The Savior's universal presence comforts the lonely. His words of encouragement uphold the despairing. His proclamation of unconditional pardon bring relief and joy to the guilty. And His announcement of a future glory provides unshakable hope, even for the dying. After Jesus bade farewell and after He had said goodbye to the anxious crowds, the Bible points out that He departed to the mountains to pray. His experience with the unpredictable crowd only minutes before, with their false messianic hopes floating dangerously in the air, now drove Jesus to the mountain to pray. He needed to be alone. Jesus Christ sought total obedience to His Heavenly Father's divine will. The Savior fully realized that the purpose of His life and His ministry must not be diverted or misunderstood. Jesus did not come to rule people. He came to save them from the curse of their sins. Jesus did not come to be served. Jesus came to serve people. Jesus was born, He suffered, and He died in order to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus knew that His ultimate crucifixion, it was inevitable, that His inevitable death on the cross had to take place as a sacrifice for the sins of all men. And so He went to the mountain to concentrate on His mission and to speak to His Heavenly Father. It would be good for all of us this hour to follow the prayer example set by Jesus. All too often today, many people pray to God only for material goods and possessions. They need a new car, they may pray. Their job seems to be in jeopardy, they may pray. They want to have a new home, they may pray. They have trouble in school, and they reach out in desperation through prayer. Yes, only in the most difficult times are many people today driven to their knees to pray. But let us, with a repentant heart, learn from the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this beautiful Bible story show us how to seek God diligently through prayer. And let us always approach the throne of God with confidence, knowing that we have the divine right to do so through the intercessory power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For at the blink of an eye, Jesus can provide us with anything we need in this life. And He sincerely desires to do this. But Jesus also strongly wants you and me to come to Him with our spiritual needs. For it is Jesus who has prepared the spiritual medicine to help your soul and mine in their troubled times. As you live in the midst of turmoil in your home or where you are working, always remember that your Savior stands prepared to calm your troubled heart. And just as He has done for millions of other followers in the past, Jesus firmly desires to provide you with confidence in yourself and with an unshakable assurance for your future. The divine presence and dependable assurance Jesus offers you today is described in the section of the Bible we are looking at. Jesus went to the mountain to pray. He stayed for many hours, but He did not do what you and I so frequently do. Jesus did not rush through His prayers. He did not limit His time with the Heavenly Father. Jesus devoted His complete self to God during these quiet hours. This was the most important thing to do. All else could wait. And we can well imagine that the presence of God was overwhelmingly obvious on that spring evening, as the stars twinkled beautifully, and as the refreshing breeze wafted in the air. The setting was perhaps as described by the psalmist who proclaimed, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Yet, as the night drew on, the situation with the disciples on the lake began to change. It became radically worse. The Bible points out that the water, and I quote, "began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing." Just as things go well for us in our lives sometimes and then suddenly become stormy, so it was for the disciples. A fierce, seasonal storm had set in on the sea. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the disciples were worried. The lake was 6 miles across, and according to the biblical account, they had traveled only 3 or 4 miles. This meant that they were caught in the middle of a lake. They were in the midst of a raging storm, and they were paralyzed by the darkness of the night. The aloneness, the fear, and the helplessness experienced by the sleepless disciples on the lake is being relived 1,000 times over in our confused, self-serving society. According to the latest Census Bureau report, 1/3 of all children in the United States are now living in a home without at least one biological parent. This seems incredible, but it's true. In pointing out the rapidly increasing occurrence of stepchildren, the Wall Street Journal recently observed that many of these youth, like the stranded disciples on the lake, feel helpless and alone. In most cases, these youth had nothing to do with the divorce of their real parents. Yet, they are mercilessly thrust into an alien relationship filled with tensions and frequent animosity. If any members of our society today deserve our sympathy, these young victims of sinful and demonic divorce certainly do. In some situations, at least one of the members of the marriage tries in vain to prevent the terrible after effects of divorce. But as it so frequently ends up, the innocent party also becomes a victim. Spouses are left alone. They try hard to prevent this, but even they end up being scorned, even by members of a church. The devastation this demonic debacle deals a forlorn wife is unknown to the general public. According to a recent survey, after a divorce, the financial income of a wife is drastically cut back by over 73%. At the same time, however, on the average, the income of a newly divorced man increases during the first year by over 42%. It is no wonder, ladies and gentlemen, that after a divorce, many distraught marriage partners feel like life has come to an end. This is also how the weary disciples felt as they were stranded on the lake. But all of a sudden, they saw someone walking towards them on the water. It was Jesus. And He realized His disciples were in trouble. He was coming to rescue them. At first, the disciples thought that Jesus was a ghost. These grown men, imagine this, these grown men, rough and tough as they were, cried out in fear. But the Bible reveals that Jesus immediately spoke to them. "Take courage," He said. "It is I, and do not be afraid." Then Jesus got into the boat, the wind stopped, And the Holy Scriptures point out the disciples were greatly astonished. As you live in the agony of loneliness, or as you face fear or frustration in your life, don't misunderstand Jesus. Never say that you wish that He would be present to help you, as He did the disciples. Because Jesus is present among us today. He is with you. He promised His disciples, and He promises us, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." We may not be able to see Him, but you and I can live each hour with the assurance of His loving and caring presence at our side. In the Bible, we are told that Jesus is always ready to come to our aid. Just as you realize that air surrounds you, even though you cannot see it, so also Jesus is constantly at your side, even though your eyes are not able to detect Him. Don't hesitate to ask the Lord to help you. Take God's command seriously and take Him joyously. God is encouraging all people to call upon Him in the day of trouble. Then He promises, "I will deliver them." Reevaluate the situation that you are in today. Lay all your cares, all your worries, all your frustrations, and all your concerns at the feet of Jesus. Your problems may never be totally removed, but God promises you the necessary power to cope with your situation. God is offering you a special strength through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. As Jesus spoke to the disciples, He is now speaking to you, to your heart. Listen to the words of Jesus as He speaks to you. "Take courage today and don't be afraid, for I am with you." This is your promise. The storm that is around you at this hour is going to calm down. The Lord Jesus has calmed storms before this time, and He will do it again for you. Amen.